Glory to his name. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. There to my heart was the blood applied. I sing glory to his name. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for your words of encouragement, for the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. To God be the glory. Great things he has done. Great things he has done. Hallelujah. I was glad when they said unto me, let's go to the house of the Lord. Let's go get in the Lord's presence. Amen? Let's be strengthened by the Lord. Let's be reminded by the Lord. He's a reminder. I'm an echo. Thank you, Lord. Atmosphere changes, you know. Hallelujah. Got warm, got cool again. Saturday, Vicky opened up windows so the heat would come into the church. And fresh air. And last night I had to turn on heat. We are blessed. We are blessed. Amen. What's that? Absolutely. No doubt about it. I think Rachel sent something about it. It's hailing in March. I don't understand it. I thought, you grew up here. Could be a blizzard, you know? Amen. Amen. Well, praise God we can be here. Last week, of course, we couldn't. But the Lord was. And so we just a short refresher of last week. If you didn't get time to listen to the message, or if you, whatever, it was about Moses said, be careful to love the Lord your God. And Joshua, when he speaks later, he says, be careful to obey the Lord your God. Love and obey. You know, we need to be careful to do that. And I just reminded that when I was young, there were times when I would hear, be careful. And there were times when my children heard from me, be careful. You don't want to go there. Be careful. And I think that the Holy Spirit is always nearby to say, be careful. Be careful. Is this loving God? Is this obeying God? No. But that was the whole main idea of what was, is to be careful to love God. I mean, to not, but it's, you know, when you're careful, you're paying attention, you know, kind of, sort of. Like in the big, had a big wind last week, whatever day it was, and piece of my siding popped out, and I've been meaning to fix that for quite some time, but this time it popped a little bit more, so I decided I better go make sure of that, and I got a ladder, and I set up the ladder, and that ladder was way too short for where that was. In my mind, it wasn't that high. So I got the ladder that would reach it, and as I'm going up the ladder that would reach it, for some reason, and I've been heavier, I think, than I was on this, that ladder was kind of shaking. I was thinking that this ladder hasn't ever shaken before, but maybe I had too straight up. But whatever the case might be, we got up there, and I got it done, and I came in, and Vicki said, "Where were you?" I said, "I was fixing the siding." She said, "Well, you should have told me." I said, "Why?" "Well, then I could have watched you." "Well, you could have watched me fall. I suppose that would be, you know, kind of a thrill, give you a testimony at the church." Oh, folks, you won't believe it. It was so cool. Here came Roger. Boom! Hit the ground. And I looked at him to make sure, see how things were going to be, you know. And then went back in, watched TV, and pretty soon he came walking back in. It must have been a miracle out there. Now, anyway, I said, well, whatever the case might be, but I was careful. I was careful, and I was careful to then move the ladder and make one more little sealer of the dealer so I didn't have to go up there again. You know? And I sort of thought, I was thinking I might, you know, sometime change the siding, but I don't think I want to change the siding anymore. I could do it. I don't think I want to. I think it looks better all the time. Every time I look at it, it looks better. That's okay when it comes to that. But it's not okay when it comes to being careful about loving God and obeying God. It's not okay to just say, it'll be good enough. You know? I'm glad that the Lord reminds me. I'm glad for every reminder. I'm glad that no matter how many times I've read the Bible and been on things this morning, I was reading it, and Moses, one of his last instructions was to tell him, these instructions are not empty words. They're your life. And, you know, sometimes, I don't know about you, I said if we've never, but sometimes I've read the Bible and caught myself reading the Bible. Just reading the Bible. It takes a lot longer to read the Bible when you just read the Bible. Especially if the Holy Spirit says you missed something. You know? And I don't want to just read the Bible. I don't wanna go up 15 verses and realize that I never even read those 15 verses, or at least I never logged them. You know? These are not empty words. These are your life. Where if most Bible plans, reading the Bible through in a year, depending on how they go, are coming to the end of Moses. And in that same sense, that's the beginning then of Joshua. And then that is the entering into the Promised Land. And in the annual celebration that's coming up, we're coming to the end of Jesus' ministry and the beginning of his indwelling. And so we're coming to places where if we look and we remember what we know the story. We know the story. There's always stuff in the story, you know. So good, but you know, Jesus will come to the mountain and he will say, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, oh, how I would have gathered you in." Every day Jesus says that. Every day. He loves that we're praying for revival. He wants everyone to come to the knowledge of salvation. He weeps over those who don't come. But every day is a new day. And for those in heaven who never sleep, there's always a new day. There's always. If nothing happens in America, well, then there'll be another country. There'll be another nation of people to be focusing on. You know? And the nation where the sun has gone past, there will be people who can be reminded in their sleep of the truth, because the truth makes us free. You know? And it's important. We can never forget that. We can never lose the joy of our salvation. We need to rejoice in our salvation. We need to be thankful for that. If we're saved, we can't help but be thankful for that. It's a big deal. It's a really big deal. These instructions are not empty words. They're just not empty words. They're your life. They are our life. Come on, machine. I don't know if echo bothers you, but it bothers me. I'll figure that out someday. I've done lots of things where it seems like it works, and then there it is again. I think that might speak to our walk with God sometimes. You know? Seems like it works. You know? Man, God was so good in church. He told us that we've got victory, and he told us we got power, and he told us that there's revival coming, and it was just really something. Did it end? The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. Our enthusiasm should never cease either. We got something we can be excited about, don't we? One of my post office people said hello to him. Then I went to my car. Then I came running back and I said, "So, what's your conversation with God today?" "Well, he's there, ain't he?" "Yes, he is. Are you talking to him?" "Well, I talk to him, man. Talk to him." You know, he went in to get his mail, and we came back out. I was talking to his wife. He might have been thinking, "Oh Lord, what's going on here?" You know? And we got done. Had to pray for her because she needed prayer. You know, and he was still standing outside the vehicle trying to decide whether to get in or not. You know that's okay. That's okay. He greets me with a smile, and in a while, it'll be really real. You know, there's a moment. There's a time. Moses was taking the time to say, "Here we go again." You know? I mean, that... That section of scripture is just, you know, because Moses is telling them, "You're going to mess this up." You know? God tells Joshua they aren't going to listen to you. It's like Ezekiel when he said, "You know, go talk to them. They aren't going to listen to you, but you, as for you, you say it, you're not responsible anymore." We should think about that sometimes, you know, if we have a thought to, you know, come in for a landing with the gospel, and we thought, "I don't know if it'll do any good." Do your part. Do your part. Might be somebody just planted and took good care of that seed, and it's just waiting to be watered. Yeah, when you read your Bible, seeds coming. I've not memorized my Bible. I've known people that memorized large bits of Bible, didn't know God. Alive. How can you memorize that much scripture, you know? Well, actors memorize all kinds of stuff. I don't know if they memorize them anymore nowadays or not, or if they just have a screen up there that they can read off. I don't know. But that would take away your acting. That would take away your ad-libbing if you were going to follow that, right? That doesn't have anything to do with anything. But don't ad lib when it comes to the Word of God. Let God be true and every man a liar, you know? You are almighty. You are above all things. You are my everything. You know? You're my everything. It's my life. It's my life. God, just the thought of God stirs your enthusiasm. If you think about God and it doesn't stir your enthusiasm, think again. And again. I sought the Lord and he heard and he answered. You know? He hears you. He hears you. That means that he listens for you. So he should hear something, shouldn't he? Having a conversation, you know, Vicki and I have amazing conversations sometimes. One of us speaks, doesn't quite get the full flood of it because the other one had spoken and nothing came back, and so one goes into the pantry, and then there's that still small voice. Okay, I'm sorry, I didn't hear you, you know. Sometimes it takes a certain amount of time for the whole conversation to get going. You know? And only by the grace of God do we maintain patience to get it going. You know? Now that really shouldn't be a big deal, but it is a big deal. You know? It is important, and it's only thanks to God. Because there's a lot of conversations that if they ended where they were going to end without getting the clarity would be a miserable day for all parties involved. You know? They just would. And when Moses is telling them these things are not empty words, they're your life, they're their life. Oh, now I'm... Some people say, well, Moses didn't need to go over everything, every failure that they had. Apparently Moses did, because Moses only said what God told him to say to them. He added a stick to a rock one too many times. But God was a tiny bit frustrated at that point too. Now God didn't say, hit the rock so I can blow up your life. He didn't say that. You know? But God understood his frustration. Because as you know from reading the Bible, there were times when God was a little frustrated too. There were times when God said to Moses, I don't know if frustrated is a good word to describe God with. But when somebody says, get out of the way, I'm going to kill them all, that seems to me to be, you know, at least on the verge of being frustrated. I'm tired of this. I'm going to kill it. I don't know if I shared this, but I think I did. We had a little episode with Morris and Vicky's solution is I want to kill that cat. I want that cat dead. And I'm going, whoa, honey, you know, you'll be happy to know they are reconciled. And She sits and pets it from the table, and everything was good. But this is really funny. I mentioned this to my folks at jail, and every week somebody asks me, how are the cats? You know, they remember that, you know. So how are things with the cats? Well, I don't know that. Sometimes our walk with God is a little bit like chasing cats. You know, sometimes, you know, I don't think any of you, I really do, I mean this sincerely from heart, I don't think that any of you that I can see eye to eye today get frustrated with God. You know, I think it's possible that you get frustrated with, you know, something that's going on in your life. You know, Every week I ask Bob if I can help him put that engine together. No, Pastor, that's all right. He just doesn't trust God. If I tried to do it, God would show me how. And I walk out smiling, you know. I think I'm inspiring Bob to get it done before I do something. Instead of ringing the bell when I come in, sneak in, grab a wrench, torque test it. Now, I won't do that to you, Bob. I would never do that to you. No. But you listen to some people, and it seems like their observation of things with God is that, you know, all God does is mess with things. And a lot of people don't understand enthusiasm for God or excitement for God. You know? Moses later tells the people, he says, look, you can make this choice by loving the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. You can make this choice. You can make everything work good. You can oil and lubricate this whole engine that God has put in you. Just love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind and all your strength. I will love you with all of my heart. I will love you with all of my mind. I'm going to love you. Old rock song, but it was a worship song, you know. I'm going to love you. Yesterday something came up on the feed on my phone, and it was, I rode through the desert on a horse with no name. Do-do-do-do. You know, I mean, I remember, I don't know, actually, I watched the video of it. I never paid any attention to the words before. You know, it was just, it had a good beat, good guitar, you know, and it's like that. And so I listened to the words, and you know, and it's like, I can see somebody searching there. You see, everything, remember, every good and perfect gift comes from God. So we can see God at work in everything. We can if we're looking. If we know God is listening, then we can be confident speak to God. We can be careful to speak to God. We can make sure that we do. We can be careful. I can be careful reading my Bible, that I'm not just reading my Bible. Sometimes, you know, there's only so much time. Sunday mornings, I still got to read my Bible. Right? But there are times when I've got too many things lined up to read, and my thought is, okay, I'll do this when I come home. Then I will actually get it. But I decide, no, I won't. See, this morning was like everything was in a slot. Now, you know I'm not a slot person. I could care less, but I have to get here, okay? I have to get here. And everything was great until I got to the copier. And I made a note to myself. Note to self. The copier does not have to be full of paper. Because when it's full of paper, sometimes it's just full. And so then one piece at a time comes, and a little warning comes on that says, you got to get the paper. Got to take down the side. Pull the piece of paper out. Now, the only good thing about that is that they were all easy to get out today. But after taking out like four pieces trying to get a copy, I said, self, just take down that tray a little bit. So I took down that tray a little bit. Worked. But now my slots had overcome each other. And I'm getting ready to head out the door, and my wife comes over and says, "You're running late, son, Roger." "Thank you for telling me, honey."
"You're welcome. I learned from the best."
Yeah. Yes. And I'm going to brag just a tiny bit here. Because a very good and righteous thought came into my mind, and I passed it on. Because I can ask John. She was a little late this morning, too. Yeah, but see, that's no big deal because she's normal. She's been training me to accept lateness for 49 years and 4 months. But I have not learned to like late. But I have learned to live with it on occasion. But then she and my children, yeah, this doesn't matter. Okay. Yeah, she and my children will say, "I wait and I wait and I wait and I wait," when they were growing up, wait and wait and wait, and then they get in the vehicle and I'd have to go get something. "You're late, Dad." Okay. We'd have been 35 miles down the road if we'd all got in. I wouldn't care if I had what I got after anyway. You know. But God's never late. He's never late. And he always has a way. Because he is the way, the truth, and the life. He's always got an answer. So when we start thinking and wondering and trying to work things out, we need to remember he's got it all worked out. That we can trust in the Lord with all our heart. That we can just rest in that. That we have faith. He gave us faith. He gave us strength. He gives us the victory. And we've got this confidence that, you know what? If God doesn't give us the plan, it's okay. We can live in his plan. We can flourish in his ways. We can be extremely blessed of the Lord. Just trust in the Lord with all your heart. You know, he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High will abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And when we get there and we're abiding, we can say of the Lord, "Ooh, you are my refuge. You are my fortress. You are my strength. I just trust in you, Lord. Search me, know my heart, try me, know my ways. If there's anything bad, anything wrong, anything out of order, just hit me with your best shot. You know? Just tell me, Lord." You know? Because when I caught myself reading my Bible this morning, he didn't say, "Isn't that funny how that worked out?" No. No. I just knew he was okay with it, and I was okay with it. I can fix it. See, we need to have the desire to fix it. We need to have that desire. We come in, just like Israel came into the promised land, we have an opportunity every day to come into the promised land. And we have an opportunity to give people opportunity to come into the promised land. You have an anointing from the Holy One. Yeah. Yeah. And you shall receive power when the Holy Ghost comes upon you. There's nothing more important that we can do than lift up the name of Jesus. And there's nothing that is as easy as lifting up the name of Jesus. It is. We can make this choice by loving the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. It's like, don't I care enough to speak his name to somebody? Am I really in that big of a hurry? You know, I need to care. I need to care. You know? Well, I'm a pastor. I get to talk to a lot of people, so I just don't have time for every people. That's wrong. Yeah. That's just wrong. I had a young gal in a chapel this week, and we were talking about loving God and obeying God, and that we can obey God, that we can, you know, don't say it's too hard. And she said, but it is hard. It is hard to stopping things is not that easy. I said, well, depends on how you look at it. If you're convinced that it's not easy, this is not easy. And you're not going to do it, you know. And I said, don't get me wrong, I'm not belittling what you're saying. I'm not just blowing you off, but I'm just saying that if you keep saying that it's not easy and it's too hard, then what's it going to be? Not easy and too hard. I set before you the way of life and death. Choose life. Choose life. That would seem simple enough. You know? Well, in some cases it is. In some cases we really believe, you know, like in some cases where we really believe that these words are not just words, when the empty words, in those cases when we actually believe that it could kill us, we'll at least be cautioned. We see a bridge out sign, you know. We will probably be cautious, maybe, but not everybody would be. But everybody should have a chance to see the sign. Right? And this is what the Lord gave us, an opportunity to see the sign. He reminded me as I was writing this morning about late spring, early summer, 1983, when I read for 2 minutes out of How to Know You're Born Again and said to Vicki, if this is true, we're in trouble. But it hadn't got any substance yet. I didn't know what I just said. I just knew if I put that down, it won't trouble me anymore. And it didn't. But apparently something stirred. And we finally heard that these are not just empty words. They're your life. Jesus came so everyone could have life. I know everyone here. So I don't really need to say, if you've never asked Jesus into your heart, just come right up here and we'll pray. No, we don't have, I know you all that well, that you have asked and you have received. And I know all of us, including me, well enough to know that we need to keep receiving. We need to keep believing. We need to keep being built up in our most holy faith. We need that. So that we can say to someone else, if you've never asked Jesus into your heart, let today be the day. And not receive some word like, well, I go to church. Good for you. I'm glad you go to church. But have you asked Jesus into your heart? Have you known the joy of your salvation? Does it make you just have a little leap in your step if somebody says, isn't Jesus wonderful? Or do you look at them like, you're one of those? You know? Hey, you know what? Why don't we? Why don't we give everyone the opportunity? Why don't we recognize how everything God is to us everywhere we go? Why don't we live like he's enough? Why don't we live like he's more than enough? Why don't we live like it's bubbling, it's bubbling, it's bubbling in my soul? You are. Well, go ahead and sing it, girls. Sometimes I only know a little bit of it. I can make up the rest of it, you know. On my guitar, one guy asked me the other day, he said, "So where do you get those songs?" I said, "Well, some of them I know. Some of them I don't. Some of them I don't remember after I've sung them. But mostly they just come from my heart." I wondered, he said, what's in our hearts? What's in our hearts? I love how your word bears witness with our spirits, Lord. How wonderful it is to dwell together in unity. How wonderful it is to come together and to encourage one another. How wonderful it is that we have the opportunity every day to bless someone, to encourage someone, to water a seed that someone else has planted, or to plant a seed and drop a drop of water on it as it goes. The most important thing, I don't know, Lord, I see the picture of you, Lord, standing with your arms outspread and tears in your eyes saying, "Oh, Jerusalem, how I long to gather you in." And yet today, that's what you're calling. I long to gather you in to everyone, everywhere. That revival's coming. You said it. You doubled down on it this morning, Lord. You're sending it. It's on its way. It's like it's here. It's happening. And we're just rejoicing for greater and greater measure. Because we don't know. We don't see what you see, but we know what you want. So we praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Come unto Jesus. Give him your life today.